And coming up next is a chat with Anthony Snowden. G'day, Anthony. How are you?
Oh, hi, Annie. Good, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely interesting conversation to have. You, of course, are Box X, and if anybody's been to any demonstrations, they'll have seen Anthony going around the place taking footage of and doing interviews. But, of course, nowadays the equipment is a lot easier than the equipment that you must have had to have taken with you on the Baxter Detention Centre in South Australia desert in 2003, correct?
Oh, very correct. I was just watching the footage again just before this interview, preparing myself, and I'm thinking, God, the shaky camera. Oh, I'm so embarrassed by it. It's so much better, so much easier these days. And the footage, you know, what I shoot now is so much smoother, but you know, when you go carry it around, and I don't think, I'm pretty sure I didn't have a tripod at that over those 3 days at the Baxter Detention Centre in South Australian desert. So, yeah, it had a heavy camera, and, yeah, you'll see it if you come along on the night we've got coming up.
Yeah. Well, it's the importance of it, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be at the International Bookshop Nibs, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, the 20th of April, which is the 20th anniversary of the first rally to outside Baxter Detention Centre. These protests, and I was recollecting that I actually went to one of the protests. But tell us about what actually happened. It was an unnerving experience because the South Australian government must have used its entire police allocation on that protest, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, just to put it in context, it was Baxter Detention Centre. Well, that protest of Easter 2003 was 1 year after the famous Woomera Detention Centre, Baxter Refugee Detention Centre protests a year earlier. And it's where refugees and asylum seekers are kept in inhumane and very hot, isolated conditions out there in the desert. And yeah, so getting back to the Baxter one...
Before we do, people who don't know what that means, what happened was that people outside that detention centre were pushing on the fence, and then for some ungodly, unknown reason, the fence actually fell down, right?
Yeah, in Woomera. Yeah.
In Woomera.
The activist climbed up on top of the perimeter fence, and eventually it collapsed. That's it covered in the video. That was released at the time. And then they moved forward to the actual fence of the detention centre. And then, this is Woomera, 2002. And then somehow or another, through maybe a clothesline from within the centre, the refugees managed to jimmy open the, if that's a term for it, the fence and climb through it. And then also jump from the top of it as well. Climb over the top and jump onto the activists and escape.
Yeah.
Into them.
Yeah. And the idea of putting people in these distant places in the middle of desert, where the Baxter Detention Centre is as well, but in South Australia, was because they didn't expect anybody to actually go there and make protest.
Well, that's one of the reasons, yeah. That's probably one of the main reasons. They never would have expected that. Yeah, so just for people to understand, at Woomera 2002 Easter and at Baxter 2003 Easter and Baxter 2005 Easter, there are three principal convergences of refugee activists from around Australia who came to those remote desert locations to protest on behalf of the refugees and asylum seekers that were incarcerated or detained, as the government says, but activists call it imprisonment, which it pretty well was. Yeah, so...
Tell me about... I mean, I know what it was like in, I think it was the 2005, because you were talking about covering... tell us about the experience for you.
So the 2003. One thing I've learned about going on a coach trip around Australia. I've been on a number of these, the Pine Gap and the Sydney and Canberra, and three times, as I mentioned, the South Australian desert, is you can take anything in this world as long as it's no longer than 3 days. That's how I look at it. You don't get a chance to shower. Someone makes up outdoor toilets. Someone volunteers to do that. It's very dusty, windy. You stay in a tent. That's okay to stay in a tent, but I don't know, the police might pretty well, as happened at Baxter, have their police horses run over it, even though you're inside the tent and they can see that. It's just full on. You don't know what's going to happen day to day, hour to hour. You go through periods of elation and dread. There's lots of random violence, to do with the police, not amongst the activists that never have bored. It's mainly police confrontations, yeah. Because what happens is the activists want to get as close as they can to the refugee camp, and the cops, which is their job, I guess, is to keep people back. They did not want it to happen at Baxter, what happened at Woomera, where the activists got very close and affected the escape of the refugees. So there's no way in the world they're going to allow that at either of those Baxter rallies in 2003 and 2005. So, it's pretty nerve-wracking sort of 3 days, but you feel really good when it's over and you look over the achievements of it and all the failures of it. And I don't know, is that...
No. I mean, actually, I know what you mean, because when I went... the horses didn't go across the tents, but the police spent all night with their helicopters going overhead, which was quite unnerving. And also, by that stage, you had to walk a very long way in order to actually get to the actual detention centre, which was interesting.
That's right. So you went to the 2005 one.
And I
went to both of them. So that's another interesting thing. Whenever I've spoken to people who went to either or both the Baxters, we always get our stories confused about what happened at which protest, because they just mold, it just melds into one as you look back 20 years ago or 18 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. And also, we can tell because in the one I went to, we went to Vanstone's house in the suburbs, which caused controversy, because how dare you go to a politician's house?
But it's I remember that.
But it's based on the principle that we know where you live.
Yeah, was that Adelaide?
Yeah, that was Adelaide, on the way.
Yeah, that's right. The coaches stopped, the activists told them to take us to this house, and stopped, and people protested outside the house, but didn't get very close. And I do remember... I do have footage of this. The South Australian police, they rolled up and they opened up their divvy vans. They opened up the doors of the divvy vans. Like, we're ready for you. We're going to just, the moment anything happens, we've got the doors open, ready to put you into these divvy vans. But as it turned out, no one was going to get that close or didn't really care.
That wasn't that really close. The point.
No,
it's funny because the police obviously had complete... a very strange understanding of who the demonstrators were, but their sense of violence was completely understood by the demonstrators.
Yeah, and just for people to understand, Amanda Vanstone was the Minister for Immigration.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Even though now they roll around as being a benign person, terribly intelligent and benign, that was what her role was at that time. So this event is actually quite amazing that you were able to take footage at this time, and it's part of understanding how important it is to actually do coverage of events. One, because people's memory blurs, but also because it marks what actually really happened. I mean, I can remember, like you said, getting to the detention centre and then seeing the people on the roof, the refugees on the roof who were, you know, showing that they could hear you, that, you know, that they could see you, and it was a relief to them to know that people hadn't forgotten them.
Well, in this video, as I was just playing it before, for, you know, obviously played it a few times myself, and there is a scene there where at night the activists had got as close as they could to the detention centre, and the police are yelling them to keep back, but one of the activists is saying, yelling, we can hear you.
Yeah.
And then everyone keeps quiet, and then we try and hear what they're them saying. I don't think it's recorded. You can just, they must have been right back in the middle of the compound. But I think at the time we could hear them. And this woman is yelling back, we can hear you.
Yeah.
So that was like a poignant sort of moment. Actually, getting back to the other thing about, you asked before, Annie, about my experiences. The other thing is, with cameras and everything, is the whole issue of batteries. Recharging batteries, you know. that was a bit of an issue. So I've generally been quite fortunate in that someone always brings along a generator. And with a generator, you can plug it in and then use your battery pack and recharge camera batteries. But that's a major issue when you go on a three-day protest.
Yeah, that's right. So we're lucky. We're lucky to be able to go on Thursday, the 20th of April at 6:30 at NIBS, New International Bookshop, which is housed at Victoria Trades Hall, to either relive that experience if you were part of it, but also to go and see what people did outside the Baxter Detention Centre in those early days of calling for freedom for refugees.
Yeah, thank you. And can I just announce?
Yeah, go.
For you, Annie, and so I haven't put this up on Facebook yet, but I've the film, after we played the video, we're going to have about 25 minutes of talk, and I can announce now that I've got Pamela Kerr speaking, and Pamela features very prominently in this video, and she's a long-term refugee advocate, and and she's very well-spoken, and going to, I was speaking to her just yesterday, and she's going to really give us some highlights, but not in the video, and give us some information that not many people know. So that's, I'm really pleased she's speaking. And the other person speaking is Liam Ward. And Liam was at Baxter 2003 as well as Pamela. He's not actually in the video, but he was definitely there. I do remember it.
Yeah, that's right. Liam Ward's always a good speaker.
Yeah, Liam's a very good speaker as well. And if I can just speak for one more minute. Just generally speaking, it's fascinating to me how we had all these coach trips, you know, the three to the South Australian desert, as I just mentioned, the two Baxters and the Woomera. There was one to Pine Gap in 2002 or three. There was a couple to Canberra. There was a couple to Sydney.
Yeah.
This is all in the early 2000s. And that whole world, that whole world of going on coach trips for a few days around Australia for activism is just, I think it's just disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. But I went on one up to John Howard's place in Kirribilli after CIVEX, the drownings of the refugees.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
That's right. That was fascinating.
Well, between the two Baxters, the Baxter 2003 and the Baxter 2005, and I don't know why they didn't, for some reason it just didn't happen in 2004, but instead we went on just one coach bus, left Trades Hall and went to Kirribilli, and we slept underneath the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
That's right, I did.
Oh, you were at that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was really good because I remember I was living in a country town at the time, and I went with this person who was there, and we were walking along the street along the road that leads to Kirribilli, and it was completely lined with cops. And she said to me, put your head up, look them straight in the eye. They work for us. I thought, no, that's a great way to, it's like wearing a suit to a demonstration.
And actually, I remember that one in Kirribilli, there was a press conference with the police, and by the time I got to it, I missed it. And I thought, oh,
I saw that.
This won't work, but I just sort of thought, I'll ask this commander, as they call him up in Sydney, this police commander, if he would be happy to be interviewed by me. And he said, yeah, sure. And we did this interview, and my main question was, I said, look, in New South Wales at protests, the police wear guns, but in Victoria at protests they don't. Why is that? And he said, oh, well, we've got to be prepared if we have to go somewhere else. We're always going to be prepared with our, have our weapons with us, no matter where we are. And anyway, it's, I just remember, anyway, the funny story about that is, I think I was just so amazed I got the interview, I forgot to press the record button. Yeah, so that, I tell people that story, and I cannot believe I got this. And then I told him about it later on, all his media people, and I go, oh, he'll do it again. And then we just couldn't organise it, couldn't get to him. And so that really is surprising, because it's very rare you get the police speaking to you.
Yeah, yeah, well, you'd have to wonder about the forked tongue. Anyway, we have to move on. And Anthony, thanks very much for having a chat with me this morning.
Thank you, Annie. Thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, well, that was Anthony Snowden. He's going to be presenting some footage, rare footage, in fact, that captures the events leading up to and including 18th, 19th, 20th and 21st of April 2003, where activists from around Australia converged on the Baxter Detention Centre in the South Australian desert to protest the imprisonment of refugees in harsh and isolated circumstances. This was the beginning of the draconian approach towards refugees in Australia as part of the early history of it. It's going to be at NIBS, New International Bookshop, at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, 20th of April. And it's the 20th anniversary, so be there or be square.